everyone. It's good to see you. I am thrilled that you are here for the next week in our series, Avoiding Grinchmas. And for those of you who are wondering, wait a minute, who's this black woman that's rolled up in these sparkly red shoes? Who that? My name is Barb Roos, and I'm thrilled. Ben, I asked if I would come back and join us for this series. I am a speaker and author. My passion is to help people live beautifully strong and courageous in Christ, because I believe that God has a great adventure of faith and purpose for your lives. And my regular day job is I'm a speaker and author. I spend a lot of time traveling and speaking at conferences and events or writing books. And, outside of that, really, truly, what I want you to know is that I'm a creaker like you. When I'm not on the road, I am here each week learning and growing with you. And Cedar Creek has been my home church for the past 27 years. And so it is so much fun for me. Thanks. I love the role that Cedar Creek has had in my life, and so for those of you who are here for the first time, welcome. We are excited to have you, and for those of you that we've known each other for a while, people often ask, hey, Barb, what have you been up to? And so this year, 2023 has been it's been an extraordinary year. I had an opportunity this year to write books 10, 11, and 12. It's been a lot of laptop time. And so next August of 2024, books 10 and 11 come out with my publisher, and they're titled Stronger Than Stress. The subtitle is 10 Spiritual Practices to Win the Battle of Overwhelm. Has anybody out there been struggling with stress or overwhelm? Life has just felt like a little bit too much. Stress has been, it's just been something that's so much a part of life, and yet I believe that God has shown us how we can move from being from overwhelmed to an overcomer. And so this book and Bible study is something I'm so proud of, and if you want to go to barbroos.com, you can find out more about it. The link's there to my publisher. But I also wanted to share this, that the seeds for this book and Bible study were actually planted 20 years ago in an experience that I had in a group that I attended at Cedar Creek. So the takeaway, friends, for you today is that if you attend a Cedar Creek group and become a part of a group, one day you can write a book. Just want to put that out there. So those come out in next August 2024. But right now, I want us to go all the way back to the year 2007. Do you know what the hot toy was that year? It's 2007. It wasn't the Furby. It wasn't Tickle Me Elmo. Any guesses? It was the Wii. Do you remember Wii Mania? This was the hottest toy. And as a parent, my kids were school-aged back then. My kids are 31, 28, and 23. Man, it always feels like a quiz remembering that. But back then, this was what I was trying to grab for Christmas. I believed that if I could find a Wii, and I mean, it was elusive, but if I could get it and put it under the tree, oh my goodness gracious, that would be the magic of Christmas. So I did all of the things to try to find this Wii. And this was back before social media was big. There was no Facebook Marketplace. Amazon wasn't an everyday thing. To find gifts, we had to do it the old-fashioned way. Call some people. And what I appreciate is that year, Angie Dodson, I was working on staff at the Creek. She was our Monday receptionist. And she said one day, she said, Barb, somebody I know has a Wii. And so she knew someone in Chicago who knew somebody they could get it to. I passed some people some money. One Monday, she handed me a plastic bag that looked real sus, but I went home, wrapped it up, and put it under the tree. And their friends, that year, it felt like the magic of Christmas. Isn't that what we want this time of year? The magic of Christmas? It's to see faces light up and to have that feeling of happiness. One of the things that makes me kind of get in the mood for the magic of Christmas is the Hallmark movies. Where's my Hallmark movie fans out there? Yeah, you know, oh yeah. There's some guys who secretly want to raise their hands. I see you. I mean, when we talk about the magic of Christmas, I mean, think about the Hallmark movie premise. The magic of Christmas is a woman breaks up with her wealthy boyfriend who lives in the city to start dating the high school boyfriend who wears flannel and is working for his family business. Like, if that's not the magic of Christmas. For all of the Christmas activity happening around us, though, I know that today, whether you are watching us here in the room in Perrysburg, at one of our physical campuses, or maybe online, what I suspect, though, is that some of you, maybe even many of you, are just not feeling Christmassy. Like, you want to feel the magic of Christmas. You want to feel that happy glow of finding just the right gift. You want to be like that full of Christmas cheer when you show up at your company Christmas parties. But there's just some stuff that you've been dealing with. And Christmas season is hard because we want to feel the magic of Christmas, but we are not feeling Christmassy. There's actually a phrase there's a concept that describes this clash of feelings. It's emotional dissonance, and it's the clash between what you're experiencing and what you are supposed to be feeling. Emotional dissonance is when you're smiling on the outside, but you're struggling on the inside. And during the holiday season, when you're not feeling Christmassy, that emotional dissonance, it makes it even harder. Maybe it's not emotional dissonance, but maybe you're experiencing emotional distress. That's because things are pretty okay with you, but emotional distress is when there are people around you who are struggling this holiday season, and you don't feel like you can do anything to help, and it's creating stress and anxiety inside of you. Some of you might be feeling that today. When we're not feeling Christmassy, there's actually an anthem that I think might describe our feeling, the song. It was made popular in the year 2000 by Faith Hill, who recorded it. It's in Jim Carrey's The Grinch This Old Stole Christmas, and the little sweet Cindy Lou Who sang the song, "Where Are You, Christmas?" Where are you, Christmas? I cannot find you. Why have you gone away? Some of us are feeling that. Like, there was this point at which we did feel the magic of Christmas in these little bits and pieces, and now it's just out there, and we can't seem to grab it, and we're trying to figure out, how do we get it back? One, I found this really super fun fact about that song, "Where Are You, Christmas?" Faith Hill did not actually write this song. The song, "Where Are You, Christmas?" was written by none other than the Queen of Christmas herself, Mariah Carey. It was interesting to me, what I found fascinating is that Mariah originally wrote and recorded the song, but even she didn't get a chance to feel Christmassy. When she actually went to release the song, she was in the middle of a divorce, and that record company executive was her estranged husband, and he blocked the release of that song. This Christmas, the magic of Christmas for some of us feels blocked by certain things. And we fill ourselves up with the busyness of the season, and we just try not to think about it, because if we're already feeling that emotional dissonance, we don't want to feel anything, because we're just trying to get through it. Or maybe you've had some extra anxiety. Or you're feeling a little, and because it's hard and the Christmas season puts a lot of pressure, and you're already feeling stirred up inside. And today's message is to give you some safe space to perhaps consider not just what might be going on with you, but also I want to share with you some hope that can help you find joy in Christmas, even if life's felt hard lately. Some of our struggle with Christmas is actually grief. And grief isn't just about someone dying. Grief it's that description of when we're aware of something that we've lost in our lives. And Christmas can stir that up. And we don't always think about it or pay attention. Christmas also, it stirs up this longing to return to what was before. When we're thinking back to the past and the times before of the magic of Christmas, and that's gone, that can create grief. Some of us are experiencing grief because what we wanted never happened. You never experienced the magic of Christmas as a kid because your family was just having too hard of a time. There are a lot of different statistics out there around grief at the holidays, but one that I found pretty telling was Psychology Today said 35% of individuals don't look forward to the holidays because of the loss of a loved one. That's more than one in three. If you look around the room of wherever you're listening at or watching at, or maybe if you are thinking about the people that you know, this is just the loss of a loved one where people just go, you know what? I want to pull the blanket over my head between Thanksgiving and wake up after New Year because it's just too hard. I don't want to deal with it. I don't want to put up the tree. I don't want to bake cookies. Any time in our lives, when we are we're not exactly sure how we're feeling, one place where we can start is thinking about, is something missing, is something broken, or something changed? Because this is what I suspect. Some of you who are having a difficult time during the Christmas season, and maybe you're a little extra short with your family, maybe you've picked a few fights with your spouse, or you're just really just not having a great attitude at work, or you just are scowling at your neighbor, there's something that's going on inside. And I think that you can bless yourself by getting curious about what's going on. What's been missing that's created that not feeling Christmassy? It could be a loved one, or you miss the way Christmas used to be. Perhaps you're missing what you never had. I appreciated last week, Ben, he gave a shout out to those of us who are single during the holiday season. Some of you have never been married or you never had kids, and you miss those things that you never had, and it's hard, or something in your life is broken. There's been some family relationships, some falling out with people, or maybe someone in your family, something's happened to them and they are not who they were, and your relationship feels off in this Christmas season. You feel that. Or something's changed. You had a job change and, man, you do not like that new job, or you've moved. Perhaps your kids, they don't believe in Santa anymore. Christmas used to be so much fun for you because they believed in Santa and you could do all the things, and now they just really want to sit on their iPads and you're like, ugh. Or perhaps you're a parent and your kids now are at an age where you're just trying to keep them alive and in school, and it used to not be that way. Or an empty nester. Maybe you used to host Christmas at your house all of these years, and that's changed because now your adult kids are hosting it. Anytime that something's missing, something's broken, something's changed, it can create some grief. And too often we ignore the grief or we don't recognize it, and yet it still comes out of us, friends. It comes out in anxiety. It comes out in anger. It comes out in unrealistic expectations. So today we want to talk about how do we deal with that, because God has joy waiting for us in this holiday season, even though life includes things that are missing and broken. And so as we look at this idea of grief or the loss, I'm glad that you're here, because I know that there are many of you who are like, I'm just trying to make it through today, Barb. The holiday season offers so many triggers. You pull out a Christmas ornament because you're thinking of someone that you loved, and ugh, or there's a recipe that you remembered your grandma used to make. Or for me, it was the Monday after Thanksgiving 2 weeks ago. I had a wonderful Thanksgiving with my family. We celebrated my mom's milestone birthday, and that Monday night, I got a phone call from my daughter Sam and my son-in-law Stephen. And 30 minutes later, with my groceries in the back of my car, I was at the vet's office, and we had to lay our 15-year-old dog, Quimby, to rest. Now, it was exactly the right thing to do, but as we were entering into the holiday season, this was a space of grief for me. Last week, so about 5 days after we laid Quimby to rest, last Saturday, I was flying home from Philadelphia. I'd spoken at a Christmas women's brunch. It was such a lovely event. I had a wonderful time. And as the plane was going down the runway, getting ready to take off, I'm sitting in my chair. I had the whole row to myself. I'm feeling good. And I'm thinking about the Christmas event and how fun it was. And then I started thinking about my dog. And there I was, sitting in a row by myself, sobbing my eyes out because Christmas had triggered memories of the, has anybody ever felt that? Like you're in the store and you're like, I'm going to get this stuff done. I'm going to buy the gifts. And then you just start thinking of something in the past or something now that's missing or broken or changed. So as we have this conversation today about finding joy at Christmas when it's hard, I don't want you to push aside the fact that you might be grieving something. In fact, I want to give you permission to know this, that it's okay to not be okay at Christmas. That you don't have to smile on the outside but suffer on the inside. God actually speaks into the grief that you and I experience. Because the joy of Christmas is Jesus coming into bring hope into our broken world. The fact that you and I experience the sadness or maybe even the disappointment is actually a picture, a very surfacey picture of why Jesus came into our broken world. He saw that the stuff that you and I are dealing with every day is just too much. We can't handle it, and we needed the hope that only Jesus could bring. In the centuries leading up to Jesus' birth, there was about 400 years. It's called the intertestamental period. This is also known as the silent years in world history. The Jewish people during that time, they had been conquered by a number of different kingdoms. And by conquered, they had been taken over, taken out of their homeland. They had been oppressed, the Egyptians and then the Syrians and finally the Romans. And this was a dark season for the Israelites. And I imagine that some of those people, they were thinking back to the stories they heard about King David, that magical time in Israel's history where King David and the Israelites, they were the conquerors, that they were this venerable force in the world. And now it was these dark seasons of oppression and of heartache and of loss. But centuries before those dark years, the prophet Isaiah, he gave a little bit of hope. He said that the people who walk in darkness, those whose lives there was missing, broken, changed, they will see a great light. Not just a little light that comes on every now and then and flickers, but this is going to be a great light for those who live in the land of deep darkness. Those who feel like they cannot get out of bed, those who just don't know if they're going to be able to make it another day, they are going to see the light that will shine. If you've ever been in a dark room, light can make all of the difference. And what's cool about this is that on the night that Jesus is born, we see this light play out. It says in Luke chapter 2, we read that there were shepherds that were staying in the fields nearby, and so these shepherds are on the outskirts of Bethlehem. Mary and Joseph are in Bethlehem, and these shepherds, they're guarding their flocks of sheep. Now, the Bethlehem shepherds, they had a very special job because the sheep that they raised would be used in the sacrifices in the temple, And the symbolism is that later, Jesus would be known as the Lamb of God. And it says that suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them. That'd be kind of freaky, right? Like you, imagine you're at work, you are minding your own business, you're like kind of in your head about all the things you got to do for your Christmas list, and all of a sudden there's an angel that appears. And the angel says, the radiance of the Lord surrounded them, and they were terrified, because that would be scary. And the angel reassured him and says, don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will bring you great joy. Now, the angel is not bringing them good news that their Roman oppressors are going away. The angel wasn't bringing good news that they were going to get a pay raise. The angel wasn't bringing good news that their life was going to get off their back about getting the chores done. Instead, the angel says that there is a Savior. Yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. God's people had been waiting for centuries for someone to show up, for someone to save them from the oppression of Rome. But here's the thing. The Messiah wasn't coming just so that he could fix the Israelites' temporary but difficult problem. You see, friends, Jesus came because God, from the beginning of humanity until now, he has seen the grief that we've experienced. From the beginning of humanity until now, God has seen the victimized, the brutalized, the evil. And so Jesus came to step into our world. And while you and I, we are fixated on what's not right in our world, we're fixated on what's missing or broken or changed in our lives, God sent Jesus because what is missing and broken and changed isn't just on the surface. It is deep embedded in sin inside of each and every one of us. That Jesus came because we needed rescue from the penalty and the consequences of sin that creates the reasons why we grieve now. But there was something missing and broken and changed inside of each and every one of us. And so while we may run around trying to experience the magic of Christmas, to buy the gifts, to have the family gatherings, to cuddle up with that special someone, today's bottom line reminds us that joy, what you and I really need, what is going to give us the hope we need, is found in the miracle, not the momentary magic of Christmas. Jesus came to do more for us than give us a reason to chase the magic of Christmas. He came because we needed the miracle of what only he could do for us, what we couldn't do for ourselves. And you might be saying, yeah, it's great that Jesus came, but does he understand how hard it is for me? This is what was written about Jesus. He was despised and rejected. You know what? Some of us know what rejection feels like when people turn their backs on us. You're trying to do the right thing and people misunderstand your motives. There's a falling out and relationships are broken. Jesus understood that. He was a man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief. If you're having a hard time today, Jesus understands, my friend. This next part is hard, though, because it's easy for us. What is it? I think it's called the fundamental attribution error. Ben might have mentioned it last week. It's easy for us to see the wrong that's been done to us, but we have a hard time seeing the wrong that we've done. But the scriptural author points it out. It says, we turned our backs on him. We have had times where we've turned our back on Jesus. He stepped out of heaven and came to earth, and we said, you know what, that's great, but we don't need you. The gift that you came to bring us, you know what, that's fine, but we're going to do life our own way. We look the other way. He was despised, and we did not care. Jesus grieved because we didn't accept the gift that he came to bring us, and yet that didn't stop Jesus, because he grieved the consequences of sin. Even though we've been happily and living our merry way, chasing the magic of Christmas, doing what we've wanted to do apart from God, Jesus knew that the penalty and the consequences of sin eternally would be too much for us. We could not stand before a holy God in our state of sin, because that would separate us from God forever. And so Jesus, he knew that he had to come to rescue us. And in fact, not only did Jesus grieve the consequences of sin, it made him angry. There is a story in John chapter 11 where Jesus hears about his friend Lazarus is ill. And Lazarus lives with his sisters Mary and Martha. And when Jesus gets word, he and the disciples are actually just down the road. They are hanging out near Jerusalem, but they don't go immediately to visit Lazarus and Mary and Martha. And these are Jesus' good friends. Well, when they hear that Lazarus has passed away, Jesus and the disciples make the brief trip. And as they get near their home, Lazarus and Martha's home, Mary comes out. She's weeping. And she says, "Jesus, if you would have been here, my brother wouldn't have died." And as Jesus makes his way into the home, her sister Mary says the same thing. "Jesus, if you would have been here, my brother wouldn't have died." How many of us, especially during the holiday season, because during the holidays, what's hard seems harder, doesn't it? How many of us have said to God at the holidays, "You know what, God? My grandma would be here for Christmas if you'd have cured her for cancer. God, I would have had money to buy my kids gifts if you would have let me keep my job. God, I've prayed for you to heal me from this depression, Lord, and I'm still struggling every day." Or maybe you've got some wounds of the past. "God, if I would have had better parents, I wouldn't be so messed up at Christmas." Does God care about the grief that you are experiencing? Jesus gives us, we see this picture of how Jesus responds. In the story, Jesus saw her, meaning Mary, weeping, and the other people wailing with her, and a deep anger welled within him, and he was deeply troubled. And here is one of the very shortest verses in the Bible. It says, "Then Jesus wept. He allowed other people to see him displaying human emotions." There is no shame in letting emotions be heard when you realize that there is grief because something missing and broken and changed. Some of you are real today. You need to acknowledge the grief. You cannot heal from what you refuse to feel. And then it goes on to say, Jesus was still angry when he arrived at the tomb. Now, was Jesus just angry because Lazarus had died? Yeah, he was angry, but what he was angry about was the penalty and the consequences of the sin that you and I, of humans, that we've had to pay because of the brokenness in our world. That word angry that Jesus experienced, it's ebrimomai. This is it's a snorting anger. It's kind of like a bull, where a bull's like, "Look, I practiced that." I know, like, there's this thing I have inside where I'm like, if there's clips of this message, this is probably going to be the clip that gets played. But it is a snorting anger. It is a righteous anger because Jesus knew exactly what sin had cost, what it costs when people sin against you and the pain and the grief. And friends, when you sin against others, that there are people who are grieving because of what I may have done to them, what you may have done with them. And so Jesus, he knew that this assignment, that we needed a miracle, not magic. We needed the miracle of him being God and coming to save us from our sin. But this was not an easy task. Jesus grieved his earthly assignment. In Matthew 26, Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane, and not once, not twice, but three times, Jesus prayed, "God, if this cup of suffering could be taken from me." He was not looking forward to getting beat and then being crucified on the cross because of our sin, and yet he did it. And in Hebrews, we find out why. It says, we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus. We live this life of faith because Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith, and because of the joy waiting him, because of the joy, because him knowing that he was going to do something for you and I, a miracle that we couldn't do for ourselves. You and I are busy chasing the magic of Christmas, but friends, Jesus came so that every single last one of us can experience the miracle of Christmas. Because of the joy waiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Because of his great love for us, he came to give us the miracle that we could experience every day, that we could have the joy of freedom, the joy of healing. Friends, some of us need the joy of a clear conscience, knowing that we've been forgiven of the mistakes that we've made. Some of you are carrying around deep grief because you know you have let your families down. And you've been carrying that grief for a long time, and it has created space between you and God and space between them, you and your family. And Jesus came to bring you the miracle of Christmas so that you could find freedom with God and that you could have a chance at rebuilding relationships with others. Jesus came to bring you the joy of peace. And whatever you face in this world, the gift of peace that passes all understanding, and the joy of an eternal connection with God. This is the miracle of Christmas. This is the reason why we say that Jesus is the reason for the season. Now, even with all of that in mind, we still have to face the question of how do we deal with that grief this holiday season. So there's three things I want to share with you, and then I want to walk you through a prayer that creates some space for you to invite God into any places where things have missing or broken or changed. So those three things are, first, I want you to grieve with God this holiday season. It's easy for you to turn your back on God and or to blame him, but we want you to invite God into your grief. It was Christmas 2018, and that was my Christmas when I just wanted to pull the blanket over my head and skip the whole holiday season. That year, within that year, my dad and my father-in-law had both died. That year, I was in the middle of a divorce I didn't want. A few weeks before that Christmas, my oldest, who was an Army captain, was deployed to the Middle East. I was living in an apartment that I had to move into a few months before. I had to leave my home where I had spent over 20 Christmases raising my kids. That Christmas was so painful and full of grief. But one of the most precious things that God reminded me of in that Christmas was that the good news is that God is with us when we're in grief. That there is this withness of God, that we are not facing grief alone. In Matthew chapter 1, the angel says that the virgin will conceive a child, she'll give birth to a son. They will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And the withness of God isn't just God who's like, you know how you're sitting at home and there's people and everybody's on their phones, and so you're in the same room with each other but not really attending to each other? When we are grieving, the withness of God is not God distant. It says that the Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and he rescues those whose spirits are crushed. It's so easy for us to get lost in our grief when we're not sure what to do, or when we're angry and we're just making a mess of things. But when we grieve with God, we invite God into our grief, and we ask him to guide us. Help us. Help me handle this, God. What are your promises that I need to be reminded of? Lord, I know you are here and present. You are giving me the strength to get through this. So grieve with God. Next, I want you to grieve with others. The good news of Jesus coming to be with us, that means that if Jesus is with me and Jesus was with you and we're with each other, the good news is then that God's people are the extension of God's healing and comfort. That as you and I individually experience the withness of God, when one of us is having a hard time, we become extensions of God's peace and comfort. Today, just by virtue of you being here, you are providing a comforting presence to people around you that you have no idea about. If you are watching at one of our campuses, you are extending that comfort. If you're watching on your own, and maybe you've been isolating yourself, I want you to make sure to come or stay in contact with someone, because when we isolate ourselves during the holiday season, we can create some really, really unhealthy and unhelpful thoughts. I attend a family member support group, addiction support group, every single week, and we have a slogan. And it's the worst meeting that you'll ever have is the meeting that you have alone in your mind. Because we can start thinking of some pretty not good things. And so when you grieve with others, you are also inviting God's comfort to be shown with them. James 5:16 says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other. So maybe you're not the one who is having a hard time this season, but is God calling you to be an extension of his comfort for someone else? Rick Warren says, when people are in deep pain, they don't need explanations. They do not need advice, encouragement, and in some places, scripture. I know many of us are well-meaning, but when someone is deep pain, what they need is for you to show up and shut up. Just be with them. It's the healing ministry of presence. Now, does scripture have a place? Absolutely. But you know what most people need during the holiday season is for you to move toward them. I love this for men because guys, like this whole touchy-feely thing, you're like, ugh. But you know what? If you've got a buddy and he's been struggling and you know that things have not been good for him, you don't have to say a word. Just by virtue of you being there will mean the world. And the last thing is to grieve with hope. This is my favorite part of the message. And the reason why that we can grieve with hope, that if we're having a hard time in any area of life, is that Jesus brings the good news that one day all grief will be gone. And Revelation 24 says that God, he will wipe away every tear from their eye. Oh, I love this. And now we're not just talking about the tears that are coming down your face. Some of us have unshed tears that are no less there, but one day God is going to wipe them all away. There will be no more death. There will be no more where we're standing around a hospital bed saying goodbye to someone we love. There will be no more sorrow. There will be no more a spouse coming home saying, I don't want to be married anymore. Parents neglecting their children. Wars. No more crying over things that are missing, broken, and changed. No more pain over the health problems that you've had that you've never been able to get rid of. All of these things are gone forever. The miracle of Christmas is the joy in knowing that one day, that God is going to make everything all right. What we need, friends, more than the magic of Christmas, is for each and every one of us to hold on to the miracle of Christmas and to keep our eyes focused on why Jesus came. But practically speaking, I also want to give you a little bit of space today for those who may need it. This is a prayer exercise that it's adapted from the Blue Christmas service. In 2018, this was a Christmas service that I attended. It's done by a number of different churches, and there's lots of different ways to do it, but the church service offers hope and it offers space for people who are having a hard time. And right now, I want to walk you through for our closing prayer today. I want to create space to invite you to pray with me through the Blue Christmas prayers. It's very simple and easy. You don't have to do anything, no matter where you're watching. You can just follow along with me. You'll see that there are 5 candles that are here, and there's a chair. And I mention this because in our Cedar Creek app and the message notes, you can recreate this exercise, or maybe you can suggest it to someone who needs it. The first candle that I'm going to light here is the central candle that represents Jesus. And as I mentioned, after each of the candles, we're going to pray. And so I'm going to invite you to pray with me as we reflect on Jesus this holiday season. God, we thank you for sending Jesus to be our light of hope in this dark world. He is our good news that brings us great joy, even as we grieve. God, help us to remember that our joy is found as we embrace the miracle of Jesus this Christmas season. Amen. The second candle, it represents those who we've lost. This empty chair is part of the Blue Christmas exercise, and right now I want to give you some space because some of you are missing someone this holiday season. Whether they've passed away, or maybe it was someone who was a part of your life, and they're not a part of your life anymore, and you grieve that. And so I want to have a moment of silence before we pray. As we light this second candle, would you join me in praying? God, we grieve the empty chair that symbolizes those who aren't with us this Christmas. Whether they've passed away or passed on from our lives, we need your comfort to fill that empty space. And God, we need you to bring comfort and healing to our broken hearts. Amen. This next candle, number 2, it represents the other losses in life. Pray with me, please. God, we grieve the pain and the sadness that comes from losses of health, from the plans that didn't work out, the relationships that are not in good shape. God, we are so sad. And so, Lord, we invite you into our grief, and we ask for your healing in our brokenness. Amen. Candle number 3 represents our prayer for courage as we face this holiday season. God, there are times when our grief overwhelms us and we're not sure how to go on. We light this candle and we invite you to give us your courage as we navigate the hard things that are a part of this holiday season. God, we accept your help and we are grateful for it. In Jesus' name, amen. And then finally, the last candle. This represents our reflection on those who've offered us support this holiday season. And after we pray for them, I'll just wrap up into a prayer for the end of the service. So God, we thank you for sending others to remind us that we aren't alone. We give thanks to you for the kindness for those who stood by us. We thank you that you have made them extensions of your comfort. God, we pray for those who are navigating a hard season on their own. Oh God, would you, Lord, prompt them to reach out for help? And let us be the hands and feet of Jesus to those who are having a hard time. God, for all of us, whether this is a holiday season filled with joy because things are going well or maybe some heartache, Lord, you are the God of it all. We thank you for sending Jesus to be the miracle that we needed. Lord, let us embrace that Jesus is the reason for this season, to keep our eyes focused on him, that we will experience the joy of our salvation, the joy of healing, of peace, and of eternal connection with you because of Christ. We thank you for all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.